Take your Bibles, go to Revelation. Thank you so much. Revelation chapter 2. Now, we're looking at Ephesus. We spent last week looking at the last part there. I don't know. Last week, we spent time on verse number 3, and we learned there as far as, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. And we had to spend time on the apostles. Had to learn about apostles, because they had people who said they were apostles and weren't, and had to be tried and found out to be liars. And today we have people who claim to be apostles and have to be tried and found out liars. So that was applicable as far as... Now, there's 8 things that Jesus approves of in Ephesus. I know thy works and thy labor and your patience and how you can't bear those that are evil. And those things there, God says, I approve of, but there's one thing going on in the church that if you don't handle, it's going to cost you being a church in my sight. Now, when you read verse 5 and 6, watch this. It says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now, that's the one problem the Lord does not approve of that's going on. Now, keep in mind, you know what's beautiful about this? We've already learned. You can apply this personally. Or you can apply this, we can apply this as a church, making sure that we love the Lord and we don't lose our love. There's a beautiful way the Lord chooses the words. Look at verse 6. He's going to give the cure, and we'll cover this tonight. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Okay, what's a candlestick? What's the candlestick? It's the church, right? So Jesus said, if you don't fix this, even though you've got 8 things going on that I approve of, I'm going to take your candlestick, which is your franchise. Y'all know what a franchise is? I'll take your franchise and you'll be a church in name only. It's just like when they, like what they say to buy a McDonald's franchise. I think somebody told me, and I may be wrong. I never looked it up, but somebody said, if you want a McDonald's restaurant, it will cost you, I think, $300,000 or something like that for the franchise, okay? Now, you still have to get the building and all of that. And a franchise McDonald's, so they pay the initial, and then you serve their meals, Big Macs, Quarter Pounders. And you say, well, you know, when we cook a Quarter Pounder with cheese, we want to put some, you know, deer meat in it. You know what I mean? You can put deer meat in the burger if you want. But as long as you have the franchise, you may not cook Quarter Pounders or Big Macs any way you want. You will cook them the way you're told. Or what? They'll take McDonald's off the sign. They'll take their colors and run. And you will be a restaurant that you want to name. And then you can put deer meat in the burgers if that's what you want. Everybody understand? Jesus said, for you to stay a church in my sight, you have to have one ingredient that's not there right now. And you'll either fix it, or you'll be in church in name only, but I won't approve of it, and I won't be there. Isn't that, that's pretty stout. I'll take your candlestick out of its place, okay? So with that in mind, let's look back at verse number 4. It says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. So they're hardworking here at Ephesus. They're faithful. They're doctrinal. They're a soul-winning church. But they've left their love. And notice this, Jesus didn't say they lost their love. Jesus said they left their love. If you lose something, that's like an accident. I lost my keys. Anybody seen my keys? I don't know where they're at. If you lose something, okay, I didn't mean to. But Jesus said, you didn't lose nothing. You left. That tells me a couple of things. Jesus says, I didn't change. You did. To leave something means you know it's there and you walk away. If you read verse 4, you intentionally left your first love. That helps me as a Christian understand. See, when we get backslidden or we're not on fire like we used to be, or we don't love the Lord like we should, we always want to blame it on somebody else. It's like, oh my goodness. Well, it's got to be their fault or their fault, because it couldn't be mine. And God says, it's the way it's worded. You have left your first love. I know it's talking to a church, but Christian, you can apply this to yourself too. And when you get backslidden, it's because you quit loving the Lord. Well, I always love Jesus. I know, in America, we all love Jesus all the time. I just love the pinpointedness and how God can speak to your heart through this. This means that they changed and it wasn't the Lord. I used to teach, when I would teach the Bible, that the first love, you've left your first love. I used to teach that that was soul winning. And if you hear me, any of my lessons from the past, you know, you've left your first love and you need to get back and do the first works. First love and first works are two different things. And soul winning is because you love Jesus, but soul winning isn't your first love. I used to teach the woman at the well, when Jesus led her, you know, won her, she went to town before she'd ever read the Bible and brought the whole town to Christ. And then, what was the other illustration I'd use? You know, Andrew first found his brother Peter and all of this. Listen, soul winning is one of the things you do because you love the Lord. It's a result of your love for the Lord. But can you go soul winning without loving the Lord? Yeah, Judas did, right? Judas cast demons out of people. He was lost. Judas healed people in the name of the Lord and was lost, okay? So can you go soul winning and not love the Lord? The answer to the question is yes. Can you do anything for God without loving God? The answer is yes. Your love for God is a choice. It's a choice. Here we go. Our first love, it helps if we could define this. If you've left your first love, the first love is Jesus. It's not soul winning, as much as I've taught that. Okay, I was wrong. I made a mistake. And so, and I understand the sincerity of it, and I've heard that preached before too. But your first love, and the one you first love is Jesus Christ, because we love him because he what? He first loved us. And when you learn somebody died for you so you wouldn't have to go to hell, and you put your faith in him and him only, there's going to be, okay, some type of gratitude. Your first love, when you first learned God, your creator that you sinned against, died for you, there's going to be, okay, you've heard me ask the question, what would you do for somebody that died for you? What would you do for somebody that pushed you out of the way and got hit by the vehicle in your place? What would you do for somebody that took a bullet for you? Would you wear a shirt with their name on it? Would you put their picture on your mantle and tell everybody that came in the house about that guy, that person right there? I'm here because of them. You'd tell everybody, wouldn't you? I mean, if somebody gave their life for you, same thing. Our first love is Jesus. 1 John 4:19, you've already heard me say it. We love him because he first loved us. This first love is like a honeymoon love when you're first married. It's all encompassing. And God, take your Bible and go to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. We'll just read the first three verses here. You could liken God delivering Israel out of Egypt to salvation and the Red Sea miracle it took to get you saved is the same power God had to exercise through Moses. He rose the rod and the water, you know, they went across on dry land and parted the Red Sea and all of the miracles. Well, God worked in your life in a powerful day, the way you got, a powerful way in the day you got saved. You say, well, I was saved at age 4. It took the same power to save you as it did a drug addict or a prostitute. The same blood, it took the same amount, amen, to wash away your sins at age 3 or 4 or 5 as it did their sins at age 40 or 30. Same power. Look at Jeremiah chapter 2 and watch how God remorses how Israel used to love him. Look at verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came into me saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee. The kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals. I remember when we got married, is what he's saying. When thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown, Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. God said, I protected you. You chased me. You wanted me. I took care of you. Remember that? See, in Jeremiah, God's going to judge Israel. It's done. God says, there's no more repentance. You're done. I'm going to spank you. And so he says, but I want you to remember the way our love used to, when we first met. Remember how you loved me? And if God reminds Israel of their love for him when he delivered them, Jesus can try to get us to remember about how much we loved him when he first saved us in Revelation chapter 2, right? Remember? Wow, you're doing all these things. This tremendous love turned into a tremendous pain to the Lord. I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love, Revelation 2:4. So listen closely. You've been a faithful church. You've learned a lot as you've listened to the man of God. You've learned to serve and work for the Lord. You're faithful to read your Bible every day. All of that's good. But do you love the Lord like you did when he redeemed you from all iniquity? Remember when you first got saved? When I got saved, you know, I remember, wow, there's a revival going on 2.5 hours from here. What? Man, we all get in a car. I know we were single then, okay? But, you know, I was in the Marine Corps. We'd go, and I remember my first revival that I went to, and man, that guy, it was a church that was no bigger than half of our auditorium, and it was packed that night, and I sat right on the second row, and I remember that guy, when he'd preach his Bible, he kept it right in his hand. I mean, the sweat coming down off his face. And he wasn't yelling as much as I just, man, everything he was shooting was jumping right through my heart. And I remember thinking, wow, can't wait to use the altar tonight. And then can't wait to come back tomorrow night. It wasn't 2.5 hours to go to preaching. Good grief, I've already been in church on Sunday. You know what I mean? There was no attitude like that. It was a, wow, I want more. God, okay, when Jesus says, okay, is your heart filled with the fervent affection and desire to be in the presence of the Lord and enjoy his presence and delight in him? Has that fervency of your love slipped away? When Jesus says to you, I have something against you, this means, listen closely, this means God is in opposition with those who serve him without loving him. Because see, here's the whole attitude. You read verses 3 and 4, you're patient and you're I know thy works and I know you don't put up with evil and I know you've tried those that are, I mean, 8 things. But if you don't start loving me, I'm going to remove your right to, and you'll be a church in name only. Let me say it again because it's probably the crux of the whole message. God is saying, God is in opposition with his children when they serve him without loving him. Because see, everything I've heard through the years, you know, 36 years, praise the Lord, of being in the ministry. Well, I'm in church. What more do you want? God wants a lot more. Is it possible for you to be where you're supposed to be, but your heart be far from it? Is it possible for you to have your Bible in your hand in front of you and reading it and not loving the one who's speaking? Absolutely. Is it possible? I just already told you, is it possible you could show up for soul winning, go soul winning, maybe even lead somebody to the Lord with and just go through the motions? Aren't you glad it's not you that's doing the saving? It's the gospel. If you want to go soul winning backslidden, you may, because it ain't you that's doing it, right? It's the power of God working through you, getting people saved. That's the whole thing Jesus is saying, I'm glad you're serving me. We probably call Ephesus the strongest church in the New Testament, right? Paul was there longest. Had the Bible college, started the other churches we'll read about. And yet, if you don't start loving me again, I'm going to remove. I care more about your love. Isn't that, aren't you glad God cares more about your love for him than he does what you do for him? As if what we do for him makes God better. You know what I mean?
While I'm here in all of my glory.
And God says, he stays the same. I get strengthened by my service for the Lord. But God is none the holier. God is not truer. Is, okay, this is amazing because we know we're supposed to love the Lord, but to think, listen closely to that statement, but to think that Almighty Jehovah God values my love and enjoys my attention so much that if I don't give it, he doesn't care what I do. That thought changed my life and my devotion. I knew God loved me, right? That doesn't change. But when I learned God wanted me and wanted my love and my attention, and when he didn't get it, after all, okay, can you imagine you doing what God's done for you? Can you do that for somebody else and then somebody else treat you like you treat the Lord? Would you be tickled or would it be Facebook day? You can't believe what they did to me and what they said to me and what they thought they did. And I can't believe it. After all I've done for them, and then this is how they treat me. I know that's, I'm just trying to drive a point home. If others treated you the way you treat the Lord, would that be okay? Jesus is saying here, I feel a loss when you don't give me all of your heart. This is why Here we go. Take your Bible and go to Mark 12. Mark 12. Go to Mark chapter 12, and I'm going to read to you Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Matthew 22, verse 37 says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. You know, when you list the Ten Commandments, most don't list that as first, right? Thou shalt not have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not kneel. Okay, but Jesus said the first commandment is that you love God with everything you got. He kind of reordered things, right? And you get the impression, ooh, if that's the greatest commandment, then the greatest sin would be to not love the Lord, right? If that's the greatest commandment, then if you break it, that would be the greatest sin. You're in Mark chapter 12. Would you look at verse 30? And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. So let me get this straight. Tonight, we're looking at Revelation, how Jesus said, you've left your first love, so our soul can be engaged in the work of the Lord. Our mind can be engaged, and our strength can be engaged. But without our heart properly loving the Lord, what does it do to everything we're doing for God? Take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. When you read 1 Kings 14 or 2 Chronicles 12, 9 through 10, while you're going to 1 Corinthians 13, I'll tell you, I'm trying to cover some ground here. You could do it later. But Rehoboam, when God allowed Egypt to come up through Israel, Solomon had made shields of gold. And the king of Egypt, Shishak, came up. God allowed him to come and clean house and took those gold shields. And Rehoboam acted like it was no big deal and made shields of brass. They look like gold. Brass is not as valuable as gold, but it looks like it. And it says that the Lord was displeased, and it's almost the same thing. The enemy has taken the gold shields or your love for the Lord, and it's been replaced with cheap brass. So look at 1 Corinthians 13 and watch this. Verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have left the gift of prophecy, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And watch verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I, watch closely, give my body to be burned. Okay, just think about that just for a second. Though I give myself to be burned at the stake, watch, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. See how value, and watch this. You say, well, that's love for other Christians, but you can't love anybody without God, who is love. And when your relationship with the Lord is not right, everybody this way suffers. I don't have love to give to people. I'm naturally a jerk. I'm naturally selfish. I'm naturally self-centered. I'm naturally focused on me. But for me to love you, I have to have God's love. And the same thing is true with you. Our love for each other can only exist if our love for the Lord is but first, not our love for each other. Because, right, that's the great commandment. And when I'm backslidden, you get backslidden. When my heart gets cold, your heart gets cold. Yes, it's happened. It'll probably happen again if Jesus tarries. I have to catch myself and say, you know what? When I'm not right with God, people that are around me suffer just like aren't right with. When your love for the Lord wanes, people around you cannot. They'll see you, right? But they won't. I'll say it again. I can only love properly as I love God first. Then I become His channel, and that's the same thing true with you. 1 Corinthians 13, very powerful. Our love for Jesus is personal, and it's so important. Jesus gave each one of us a measuring stick so we could see how much we love Him. John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know what? Go to John 14 and look at verse 20. You know what I think is so... We're going to read, Jesus is going to break down us loving Him and God loving us back. But you know if you love the Lord or not. And you know how much too. You know how much of a priority He is. And God never wonders if you love Him or not. God knows. It's not, well, heads they do, tails they don't, you know. God doesn't do that, right? Look at verse 20. Watch this. At that day, John 14:20, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. That's why I can make the statement, God knows if you love him or not. And you know if you love the Lord or not. And you're the only one that can answer that question. Now, what's when you get into leadership and you mature as a Christian, you start watching, okay, what's a pastor supposed to do? I want to make sure that us as a church, that what we do, we're obeying the Lord so God can see we love him. But what we do is supposed to be for the Lord and in the love of the Lord, right? And so I watch spirits, I watch attitudes, right? What's the Bible say in Hebrews 13? I watch for your soul. I'm going to see things, leadership, a Sunday school teacher, someone that's helping the pastor, probably a deacon or so. They're going to see things and they're going to watch spirits and they're going to go, is the spirit right? Is the attitude of the people right? I've been to some churches when you walk in the back door, man, I mean, it was, oh, you know, and they don't know me. I'm a visitor, right? It's my wife and I on vacation, and here, have our seat, here, right here. I went to one church, actually I went to several, and we walked in. I mean, there was 600 people in there. Everybody was so busy, no greeting, no handshake. And I don't need my hand shaken, okay? I'm fine, I can find my own, okay? But the attitude of that church was totally different. People were tired and exhausted, and you could tell. You could just leadership watches for that, so that I know everybody in our church doesn't love the Lord, but I would hate for the Lord, maybe it's nightmare type stuff, for the Lord to look at Gospel Light Baptist Church and say, boy, y'all go soul winning every Saturday, and boy, you're faithful to church, and you use the right Bible, and boy, you preach salvation straight, and you don't put any works in it, and that's good, but you know what? As a church, you don't love me as a church, remember, as a unit. That's why to the leader, they watch that. They're maybe a little more sensitive, but praise the Lord, everybody can watch the Lord. They can be careful about it. Jesus said, here, look down at verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which he hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. I think it's so amazing about the Christian life. It's your relationship with God, and you know if you love the Lord, and you know if you're excited about Jesus or not. I've had been a youth director at several different churches. You can tell. You can tell when there's something there, and tell when there's, oh, you judge? Yeah, I judge. That's what I'm supposed to do, right? And I don't go up and say, your relationship with the Lord's a joke, and your relationship with the Lord's a joke. Now you're en route. Boy, keep on going the way you are. And boy, I've watched you. I don't do that, but I'm not stupid. And you can watch people in church. I mean, it doesn't matter what we're into. I mean, if they're still counting ceiling tiles, you know what I mean? And I'm like, is there anything there? Is there any love for the Lord? Is there any relationship at all? When you leave here, what do you do with Jesus? Is he okay until Sunday and he'll just have to deal with it? You got your life to live? Or is there a relationship there? And you can tell that. Not specifically, but I think as you get to know people. If I asked you this tonight, did you see verse 23? If a man love me, he'll keep my words. He that, verse number 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. The Bible seems to be a big part of this, isn't it? Then if I asked you tonight, we're just using the phrase, you've left your first love. If I was to ask you to analyze your love for the Lord, you can measure it in your obedience. How important, how much does your sin break your heart? We know it bothers the Lord. Praise God, we're forgiven. It's under the blood. But how much does it bother you? Let me give you another measuring stick. You ready? According to what we just read, how precious is your Bible time? How excited are you to read your Bible? If it ain't there, you know Jesus in this book, same, right? The Word, this became flesh. Your time with the Lord is a great measuring stick on how much you love Him. And that's what I'm hoping tonight. Tonight's pretty soul searching. And yeah, God has ripped my face off and helped me a whole bunch. I've been working on this for 2 weeks, but it helps me too. I know what it's like. In 1990, we had a Pentecost Sunday at First Baptist, and I had a bus with 12 workers, and we went to two areas, and I brought in the most kids, and I had the most salvation and the most baptisms for that section on that Sunday, and I won one of Brother Hiles' suits, and I got that suit in my closet. All silk. I've never had an all silk, okay? You say, why are you telling us this? Because that night when they said, and with this many salvations and baptisms, Greg Nash, come on up here. Ah, man, 6,000 people. I took that suit. I went and sat down. And I knew that day I was backslidden. I wasn't right with God. But could I win a contest? Could I preach salvation? And yes. Could I get people down the aisle and get them baptized? Yes. And God says, you know how to do it all, but you and I know things aren't right. And I never forgot that. So can I go through the motion? I know how to do it. And I find myself doing it sometimes. It scares me and think, I don't want to be a profession at living and playing the part, keeping the facade. I want to. And tonight, you could measure your love for the Lord. And I hope that's why I'm hoping this helps you. Tonight, Jesus tells us what to do about our lack of love. Can you go back to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5? And we'll close this way. Jesus tells us the fastest way back to Him when you find yourself waning. And if you have not found yourself waning ever, you haven't been saved very long, okay? There's no such thing as someone that's saved for like 10 years and has never been backslidden. That's impossible. Well, at any rate, it's going to happen. All of us backslide. All of us can get a cold heart. That's the Christian life, right? When we fall down, pick ourselves back up and praise God for the blood and keep on going for the Lord. We don't quit. Right? Okay. Look at Revelation 2:5 and notice this. Remember therefore. So here's what you're supposed to do. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works. Number two, do the first works. So number two is repent. Number three is do the first works. So he gives you three things to do. Remember from whence thou art fallen. Tonight, you know what? It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. Go to Ezekiel 16. When you find yourself cold, when you find yourself not loving the Lord like you should, you're not on fire for God, it really helps if you can remember from where God's brought you. Remember from whence thou art fallen. We did part of that tonight when I tried to say, remember what happened when you first got saved and how excited you were about the Lord. Is that there right now? Because that's what the Lord's looking for. Remember, here we go, remember when we were first married? That's the comparison God gives. Look at what one other illustration. This has meant so much to me since I've been saved. Look at Ezekiel 16, verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. Who's the birth of the Hebrew nation? Abraham and Sarah, right? Okay. Get thee out of the land of Ur of the Chaldees and go to a land I will show thee. Right? And he says here, and as for thy nativity, watch closely. In the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut. Neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. I was saved at age 20. What was my condition like to God when I got saved? God says, I found you in a bloody, dejected pile, left to die. No hope. Everybody see that? You were like a baby that was born and discarded in a field and left to die. And God said, I found. And I touched your heart about getting saved. And I swaddled you and salted you and washed you. And then the rest of the chapter, you can read it. And I gave you gold and nice clothing. And then you took that at verse 15. He says, and then you took what I gave you and you used it against me. And you turned on me after all that I had done for you. What's the first thing you can do when you find you're not loving the Lord like you should? It would remember from whence thou art fallen. Read you a neat verse. I know we're running out of time tonight. Ezekiel, matter of fact, look at verse 15. But thou didst trust in thine own beauty and plaidst the harlot because of thy renown. Thou pourest out thy fornications on everyone that passed by. His it was. And of thy garments thou didst take and deckest thy high places with diverse colors and plaidst the harlot thereupon. The like thing shall not come, neither shall it be so. Watch. Thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of whose gold? God's gold. And of God's silver, my silver, which I had given thee, and madest to thyself images of men, and didst commit whoredom with them. How bad does it break God's heart when we don't love him after all he's done for us? Ezekiel 16 gives a clear picture of that. Have you ever asked yourself the question? You need to. Where would I be if the Lord hadn't saved?
Because I don't deserve anything I have. I don't deserve the wife I have. I deserve the kids I have. And if God hadn't saved me 36 years ago, where would I was headed for jail. I was headed for a wrecked life. Everything I have is, and I need to remember that. And it warms my heart. Christian, you're supposed to do the same thing. Isaiah 51 says this. It says, Isaiah 51:1, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, listen, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. What a verse. Isaiah 51:1, don't you forget about the slime and the slop I dug you out of. That song, when the Savior reached down for me, he had to... What? Reach way down to get me. That's supposed to be all of us, right? There's supposed to be a gratitude there, and it keeps your love for the Lord warm. That was Isaiah 51, verse 1. Then what else? Step 2, when you find your love for the Lord isn't what it should be, I'd like you to take your Bible and go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Step 2 is repent. Repent means change your mind. You can't change your mind unless you were wrong, right? That's what you've left your first love is supposed to say. You knew what was there, and you knowingly walked it. You didn't lose it. It wasn't an accident. You chose to stop loving me. Repent. Change your mind. Admit you were wrong. You can't repent without admitting you were wrong. And change your mind. And then, what's the last step here? Then, do the first works. So there's three things tonight in verse 5. Jesus gives us three things to do to fix our lack of love. Remember, for once you're fallen, repent and do the first works. Now, if you've left your first love, then what are the first works? And the best way I can analyze it is when you go to Mark chapter 5, and remember, this is the story of the maniac of Gadara, the man that had 1,000 devils in him, and Jesus cast him into the swine. Then it says in verse 15, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with a devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. This man, verse 5 says, he was always crying in the tombs and cutting himself with stones. So if you can picture, I heard a sermon on this called, that was one rude nude dude, okay? He wear no clothes, okay? That's what it says. And he cut himself with rocks day and night. So picture a guy covered in cuts and blood, screaming. And then the beauty of this picture is when he meets Jesus, his life was never the same. And they found him that used to be possessed, sitting and clothed and in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. And look at verse number 16. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he, the man, was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with a devil prayed him that he might be with him. If you underline the words, might be with him. What's the first works when you get saved that Jesus would like you to return to? How badly? Can you imagine no family living in the tombs? Jesus heals you. You're clothed. I have nothing to go back to. I just want to be with you. And the Lord said, you go home and you tell them how the Lord verse number 19, tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and that kept passion. The first works, I think, tonight is your desire to be. I want to be in his presence. I want to enjoy him. You're there in Mark 5. Go back to Mark 3. Watch this. Look at verse 13. And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12. And then the next words, that they should be with, and that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. He ordained 12 for the ministry. So they could preach? Nope. So they could cast out devils? Nope. That wasn't the first reason. So they could be with him. You know why Jesus saved you? And if you don't enjoy that, if when you leave here, you know if he's inside you, he's closer to you than your next breath. And he'll never leave you. Do you? And he saved you to be with. Do you enjoy? Is your relationship with the Lord sweet? I'll show you one more. Luke chapter 7. And look at verse 37. This has always meant a lot to me. Remember, tonight we looked at Revelation 2:5, 4 and 5, where Jesus says, you don't love me like you used to, and it's hurting me. But if you want to come back, remember from whence you're fallen, repent, and do the first works. And the first, you know what? I'm going to start enjoying my presence. I'm going to start, he never leaves me, he's always there. And I'm just going to start enjoying the fact I'm saved. Look at Luke chapter 7 and look at verse 37. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto Simon, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which owed two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. You're so right. You love to the degree you enjoy being given of. And if what you've done isn't that bad, and everybody's worse than you, and you're better than everybody else, that's one sign you don't love much. Because God didn't have to forgive you of everything he had to forgive them for. He said, Simon, you are so proud. I mean, wouldn't it be awesome to be in that room with Jesus and you know he can read their minds? You know what I mean? He knows their thoughts. It's like, wow, this is awesome. Look at the next verse. I just love verse 44. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water from, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. And verse 47, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Boy, what a... The Lord says, you know why you don't love? You don't think you're that bad. And everybody else is worse than... The day you get your heart right, the day you will thank me and love me for all I forgave you. And that keeps our hearts warm, doesn't it? So tonight, I have somewhat, thou hast left thy first love. That first love is, and I'm so glad God says, you got a problem, now I'm going to tell you how to fix it. And if you want to, that's up to you. I don't make you do anything. He didn't make us get saved, amen? But if you want to fix the problem, I'm so glad. I love this passage. It's been a help to me. I hope it's an encouragement to you. Father, thank you for the truth tonight. And Lord, please, I pray. I know there's so much in this.